Danny, good afternoon.
Afternoon. How are y'all doing?
Doing well, doing well. I guess let's start with this, Danny. We've had a lot of questions this week, and I know some other shows on this station have had a lot of questions too.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the lack of 4- and 5-star recruits on this team, how many are there on this Arkansas team right now?
Oh, boy, that's a tough question. Not a ton, you know, but they do have some. You know, Brandon Allen, I think, was 4-star. He might have been right there at a high 3-star, but my guess would probably be somewhere in the 10 to 15 range out of 85 scholarship players. That would be my guess without looking it up.
Danny, and I know we talked a little bit last week, and the A&M game, we kind of talked about, you know, we wanted to see us compete, a good atmosphere. How did it seem at the end of this game with the atmosphere, with the recruits there? You know, what was the overall feeling with the recruits there?
Yeah, it wasn't an ideal situation, that's for sure. You know, you got beat 52-7. That's your fourth loss in a row. Now you're looking at 5 losses in a row for the first time in 16 years. So, you know, a little bit of a downer there, I'd say. But you had the nation's number 3 tight end up here, DeAndre Goolsbee, came in for an official visit. And everything went great as far as his visit here, except for those 3 hours where South Carolina just made you look like a junior high football team. I think you wanted to see a little bit more of action with the tight ends. They go 4 of 12 passing. They didn't throw a single pass to the tight end, so that's not an ideal situation. It kind of reminds you of Johnny Dixon a few, I guess about a month ago now, when Southern Miss came up here. He was here for his official visit, a 4-star wide receiver, and they go 6 of 11 passing that day. Only 2 wide receivers caught passes. So not an ideal situation, but the overall mood was still positive. I think you've got to give a tip of the hat to the current commitments, Bijan Jackson, Rafe Peavy, Ty Story, these kind of guys. They just don't stop. You know, even though the team is out there getting killed, you look up late in the fourth quarter and Rafe is talking to DeAndre Goolsbee. You've got Bijan talking to Josh Frazier, Ty Story talking to a big-time 2015 kid. And like I said, I think you got to give those kids a lot of credit. They're doing their best to try to keep it together right now.
And you've got a question for Danny West. Give us a call, 1-800-477-1037, 433-1037, or our Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, and I guess over the last week we've had a lot of callers call in and live fan feedback about kind of what you just touched on, the receivers and D-backs, because when I look at this team the last couple of days or games, I don't see the speed on the outside and in the secondary. So who are they going after? Where are they going to get these kids? Because we know that Coach B is going to be heavy D-line, O-line. We have some good quarterbacks coming in, the running back, tight end. But when you look at the outside on receivers and the secondary, the D-backs, do we have any commitments that are going to be able to come in and fill those roles?
That's a great question, because obviously they need it at those two positions especially. Right now you've got 3 wide receiver commits, all 3 from the state of Louisiana. Jared Cornelius out of Shreveport Evangel committed this past summer. Corey McBride is a speedster down in Dutchtown, Louisiana, and his teammate Torrance Mosley is just about as fast as he is. So you've got some speed there. As far as defensive back, and I will say this, you're probably going to want at least 1 more wide receiver. You had Johnny Dixon up here, who I just spoke about. This past week, they offered a kid down in Georgia, Cameron Uter, out of Atlanta, big kid, kind of a late bloomer, 6'4", 205 kid. But a defensive back, same deal. You need a lot of help. You've got a few cornerback commitments so far. Chris Murphy out of Georgia. Quishy Brown is a junior college guy out in California. And then Andre Tolliver from Louisiana. All 3 of those will play corner for you. You're still in the mix for Cornelius Floyd, a kid out of Miami. And then at safety, that's a spot I think they really, really need some help. You're looking at Stephen Parker, who's already made an unofficial visit, one of the top safeties in the country, and they're very high on Arkansas. The season hasn't hasn't moved them either way. They're still very interested in Arkansas. So we'll see how it shakes out, but you're exactly right. They need a lot of help at those two positions.
Let's go to Lee in Brinkley. Lee, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I have no answer for this, but I just wonder in the evaluation process, if a kid was a five-star, he gets to Division One, and then the game is over his head and he's called a bust, you know, maybe, you know, he didn't ask for either of those labels. I just don't know how to evaluate if he really was a five-star or if, you know, really was.
Measurables have a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
And Danny will be able to answer that better than I can, but I think measurables.
Thanks, Lee.
You know, what you see on film and the way they compete, but measurables, I mean, I don't see a receiver being a 4.9 receiver ever being a 5-star, so I think measurables have something to do with that.
Yeah, I think you're right, Matt. Most of the national guys will look at measurables. Perfect example, Darius Winston out of Helena. He was a 5-star cornerback. I don't think anyone in Arkansas would say he had a 5-star career as a Razorback. Meanwhile, Chris Houston, I think, was either a high 2-star or a low 3-star, and he's still playing in the NFL today. So a lot of player development, coaching comes into play, and, of course, how the kid enjoys football and puts work into the game and honing his craft while he's in college, all of that stuff comes into play. But you never know until you can look back 4 or 5 years later and say, well, now we can evaluate him based on his play. And if you reevaluated the classes, I think you'd see a lot of shakeups. And we try to do that about once a year. We'll look back over 5 years ago and check out how that class actually did. And sometimes you do have some surprises on there.
Yeah, and like you said, late bloomers. Sometimes kids develop when they're juniors in high school. Sometimes it's not till their sophomore year at college. And listening today to Coach Jim Moore out at UCLA talking about how they were recruiting players, he said one of the things they do, and of course everybody, he said, is trying to get players like Alabama in that model. But he said one thing they do is they look for players that are winners. And I've never really thought about it this way, but they look for kids that in high school, they were winners on winning teams and not necessarily getting recruits off teams that go 500 or I'm not saying, I guess, win the state championship, but on successful teams. Does Coach Bielema, does he recruit kids like that as well? Or is that like the main focus, I guess?
Yeah, I don't know if it's his main focus. I know Bobby Petrino recruited a lot like that. If you had a quarterback, for instance, that had just a remarkable win-loss record in high school, Petrino was really high on that. He really thought highly of winners, as you say. But Coach Bielema, I'm sure every head coach wants winners on his team, people that have already enjoyed success. But I think he looks at other things too. You know, your passion to get better, your willingness to put in the work. I think that's more important to him. But, I think every head coach would look for that.
Let's go to Keith in North Little Rock. Keith, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Thanks. I just had a question about our receiving corps, and it's obviously a position where we need lots of help. And what's the status of Drew Morgan? I know that Coach B really hyped him up preseason and even early on, and it seems like he's just been totally irrelevant the last 3 or 4 games. I don't even know if he's played or made the trips, but could y'all comment on his status if you know, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
And Danny, real quick, I think he's out of position. I think he needs to be a free safety or a Tony Bua type. Now, I don't know if he has that desire, that physical tenacity in him, but I think he's out of position. But you can go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, Drew Morgan was a fine safety in college. You know, just a year ago, Trey, I know you remember watching him at War Memorial in their state championship.
Greenwood, game. Yeah.
Yeah, he was all over the field. He made, I want to say, 9 or 10 first half tackles, and then I think they kind of pulled him in the second half. But, Drew's just a football player. It goes back to when he was being recruited. I had coaches tell me he's not the best receiver in the state, not the best running back, not the best safety, but he's the best football player, and I think that's what you've got with Drew. I don't know what the plan was with him. You almost want to call it a wasted redshirt year. You know, you put him back there for on kick returns a couple of games early on in the season. He never touched the ball. He has yet to record a statistic. So, but, you know, every team has that. I think you waste some red shirts sometimes, and, you know, you never know until you put them out there. But it's kind of disappointing, as the caller said, that he hasn't been able to.
And your point, what you're saying right there, he's just a football player. Those are guys I want on the defense side of the ball, and we're not a passing offense that's really going to have three or four receivers catching the ball four or five times. Mm-hmm. But when you look, somebody who has a knack for the ball that can get there, be around the ball, he reminds me a lot of a Tony Bua, that he's a safety you can match up on a tight end to cover. You can bring him down in the box. And like you said, that's what I see with him is a guy that can just find a way to get to the ball. Now, you're right. He's not going to hit you the hardest. He's not going to be the fastest or whatever, but he does seem like that. That's what I see when I see Drew Morgan.
Dustin and Perryville on our Keithley Service Company Live Fan Feedback. He asked Danny, are there any JUCO guys that we're wanting and could make an immediate impact next season? Thank you, Go Hogs.
Yeah, you've got two junior college commitments right now. Jermaine Illuminor, big-time offensive lineman. I want to say he's the top-rated offensive lineman in the JUCO ranks this year. Jermaine has been a little bit sketchy over the last few weeks as far as Twitter and some of his comments. Arkansas knew when he committed that you know, he's going to be a guy you have to stay on and stay on all the way up until the ink dries on his letter of intent. So you'd hate to see him look around, but he may. And then at cornerback, as I mentioned, Quishy Brown is a junior college cornerback that they're on. But really, outside of those two guys, I don't see them making a lot of movement toward junior college right now. Maybe they will as we get closer to signing day. Maybe they strike out on some guys, some of their prep guys. But right now, not a lot of attention in the junior college ranks.
Let's go to Tim in The Rock. Tim, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, guys. Just had a recruiting question, not necessarily about the Razorbacks, but say you kind of answered some of my question a while ago with the UCLA thing, but say you've got a kid that's maybe undersized, not typical for, you know, what they're looking for, D1 football-wise, but just a great football player, great grades, whatever. How do these kids find – how do these smaller colleges find these kids in these smaller schools around? Because, I mean, there's kids that maybe don't fit the grid that you take, like Wes Welkers or Danny Woodhead, guys like that kind of fly under the radar at these smaller schools. And Welker didn't. But anyway, how do these coaches at these smaller schools like, say, Henderson or other schools like that, how do they find these kids, or how do these kids connect with those coaches?
Thank you, Tim.
Fantastic question. I tell you, the day we live in now with Internet and Huddle and YouTube and Rivals, for instance, all these recruiting networks, that's really where you can find a lot of kids, find out a lot of information. But I do think coaches use that, and then you've got more and more camps throughout the year now. And what you see with some of these smaller schools, like Arkansas will invite maybe a Division II school from Oklahoma over for one of their camps. They may invite Southeast Missouri State or whoever to come down here to one of their camps, because you might have 300 kids at your camp, but realistically only about 20 of those guys have a legitimate chance
right.
of playing for you. So, you know, if you can help out other smaller schools in your region, then I think they try to do that, and a lot of small schools benefit from that.
Yeah, and with those kids, you want to have good grades, because a lot of those, my sisters were that way. They had half academic, half athletic, because it was a smaller school. So that's why it is important to have good grades. But, Danny, I think you make a great point there that those camps, when all those kids are there, there's really only 15, 20, 25 at the most that they're even evaluating, and those other kids are going to smaller schools. And real quick, Trey, I just saw this. Don't know if y'all saw this. Case Keenum will start for Houston Texans this week. So how
wow.
crazy is that? Yeah.
Yeah. It's a mess down there in Houston, no doubt about that. Let's go to Lance in England. Lance, welcome to Overtime.
Afternoon, fella.
Good afternoon.
I have a couple of quick recruiting questions about guys in high schools. What about my first thing, two sophomore running backs that I think is going to have big careers in high school, maybe on college, and the kid from Jonesboro, Denzel Mitchell, and the kid from Newport, Carl Turner. What do y'all think, he'll go to have a big high D1 recruiting or what?
I can tell you this. I don't know much about the kid from Newport. I will look into him, but Denzel Mitchell has a chance to be, in my opinion, one of the most highly recruited running backs in that class, 2016. He came up here to camp this past summer, and he's just, I think he's everything Arkansas wants in a running back. I feel very confident that they're going to end up offering him, 6'1", 215, 220, just a bull, and he's only, a sophomore this season. I think he's got a great chance to pick up a lot of offers. Arkansas State has already offered. I think Ole Miss and Auburn are really looking at him. And he's having a great season right now, so I would expect Arkansas to, at some point, I'm not going to say when, I do expect Arkansas to offer Mitchell.
Yeah, I think we need to keep him. And have you heard anything about who might be recruiting Bo Weta from Carlisle? Because I know before he got hurt, he was having a lot of SEC and stuff schools look at him. Is anybody still looking at him?
Yeah, the latest I've heard out of Bo is that most of the in-state colleges have offered him. I think UCA is very much in the mix for Bo right now. It wouldn't surprise me if he ends up there or at a place like UCA. But I think that injury really hurt him. He missed a whole season. I think he only played like a few plays of his the first game of his junior season. Then he missed the whole year. So I think that set him back a little bit, but he's off to another great start this season. I think they're still undefeated at Carlisle.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your time.
Yes, thank sir. You, Lance. Appreciate the call. Let's head to Rob in Malvern. Rob, welcome to Overtime.
Hey, I got a question. What about linebackers? I mean, we're starting a senior linebacker that wasn't on scholarship, and gosh, I mean, that's as glaring a weakness as anything we've got, I think.
Danny, is that the freshman from Fayetteville? Is he playing a lot? Because I think me and you were agreeing earlier that we thought he was a good linebacker, probably one of the best we had up there, but he's just so young.
Yeah, Brooks Ellis. He played quite a bit Saturday. It's really the first time he's played defense significantly this season. He played a lot of special teams up until Saturday, but they threw him out there on a lot of third down situations, let him rush the passer. And forget who I asked on Sunday. It may have been Chris Ash that I asked about Brooks, but he said he does plan on playing him quite a bit more. To answer the caller's question, I totally agree with you. I think it's probably right there with safety and maybe cornerback as far as your defensive weaknesses, which basically is your whole defense, if that tells you anything. But they've got a few commitments there so far. Kalia Hackett out of Douglasville, Georgia, is committed to them, as well as Dwayne Eugene out of Rummel, Louisiana. A couple of kids there. And then Sharif Raheed out of Florida has already taken his official visit here. And then Jimmy Swain is actually committed to TCU right now, but I fully expect him to give Arkansas an official visit. So a couple of options there, but they've definitely, again, they've got a long way to go at that position too.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate the call. Some Keithley Service Company live fan feedback. Blake and Benton ask, is Javon Westmoreland being recruited from Hope?
I don't know anything about him. I'll have to look into it.
Okay. Danny, also, you had some comments from Chris Ash posted to the website after Sunday's availability about what they're having to do with recruits right now. Can you kind of briefly give us a synopsis on what he said there?
Yeah, he basically told me that regardless of the record, their message has not changed. They said it's going to be a process, more or less. It's going to be built from the ground up. Charlie Partridge echoed that. He told me the same thing that, hey, I'll take you back to last year. Brett Bielema, or at the first of the year, said, I'm not interested in rebuilding. I want to win now. Well, I think they've realized that it's going to be a rebuilding process, and they've got to start clean slate from the ground up. So that's what they're preaching to recruits right now, and just trying to hold on to what they've got and maybe go out and get a few more to help them.
Danny, how bad is it going to be on Saturday?
It's going to be bad, Trey, but, you know, hopefully they play with some pride and not just roll over and take it this week. Maybe put up a 60-minute fight.
All right. Danny, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks so much for your time.
You bet.